Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And today we're going to talk about sugar. One of my favorite subjects. I, in the past, used to love sugar. I grew up on sugar. I used to eat sugar 3 times a day. I used to eat dessert instead of meals. I'm telling you all my horrible habits. But I stopped doing that. How many years ago now has it been? Maybe 10 years ago. It took its toll on my body. And I learned to be very happy without sugar. And so today my guest is Dr. Nancy Appleton, PhD. And she has written many books about sugar based on her own health situation as well. She has a very wonderful list on her website, which is nancyappleton.com. She has a list called 141 Reasons Sugar Ruins Your Health. So we're going to talk about the dangers of sugar. I actually consider sugar, refined white sugar, to be a toxic chemical that we should be removing from our lives. I have. And it seemed to me at the beginning, like, how am I ever going to live without sugar? But I can tell you that today, your body actually decides that it doesn't want it after a while, that it gets used to not having it. And today, somebody could offer me the most delicious sugar dessert in the world, and I wouldn't eat it because my body doesn't want it, and I don't want it. I don't want those devastating effects. So thank you for being with me, Dr. Appleton.
Hello, Deborah, and I'm Nancy.
Nancy. Okay, Nancy, thank you. you've written a lot of books on sugar. Lick the Sugar Habit has been a 25-year bestseller. Tell us how you became interested in this.
Well, I was sick. Like you said, it took its toll on your health. It certainly has taken its toll on my health. And I was a national junior tennis champion. And so if I'd win a tennis tournament, I'd treat myself to 2 hot fudge sundaes. If I'd lose a tournament...
I'm only laughing because that's what I used to do, too.
And then if I'd lose a tournament, I'd treat myself to a whole bag of Oreo cookies. So winner or loser, I was a loser, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And this went on and on and on. I knew it was wrong. I would put the Oreo cookies underneath my car seat on the way home from playing tennis and pick them out one at a time because I know watching 40 Oreo cookies disappear off of the seat was not a good idea. But as long as I hid them and just ate one at a time, it was okay. I mean, the rationalization that people put themselves through in order to appease their addiction is ridiculous.
And it is an addiction. It really is an addiction.
It certainly is an addiction.
Yeah.
How did I get started? I'm not sure. My sister was not one. I was the one who had all the cavities at the dentist. I had pneumonia for the first time when I was 13 years old. I would hide this stuff, as I said. We had what was called the Helmsman. I lived in L.A., and it was a bakery truck. And so I would meet the Helmsman down the street before it got to our house, and I would pick out all these different things and hide them in my room. And my mom would pay the bill at the end of the month, and she didn't even look to see who had bought what or whatever. And so I was really, for the first 40 years of my life, I was extremely addicted. I was 25 pounds overweight. I was sick continually. And why did I change? I read a book called The Pulse Test. Do you know what that book is?
I don't know that book, no.
Okay, it's a book. And what it says is take your pulse when you wake up in the morning and see what it is. Take a food you think you might be allergic to. Take your pulse again in 10 minutes. And if it goes up or down 10 beats, you know you're allergic to that food. And it's creating illness in your body. So, wow. Now I didn't do sugar. You know, I was a sugaraholic. Why should I check sugar? I was addicted to it. So I said, I think milk might do this to me. So I tried it, and my gosh, it went up about 15 beats per minute. And did that get my attention?
And so you eat the food, and then you take your pulse immediately after you eat the food?
10 minutes, about.
10 minutes. I'm going to try that.
Do 3 or 4 foods. And the ones, of course, you can try sugar, try dairy, try wheat, try soy. Those foods that I've just mentioned are the foods that many, many people are allergic to.
Yes.
So it really gets your attention when all of a sudden you haven't run, you haven't talked to anybody, you haven't done a darn thing except sit at the table waiting for the 10 minutes and you watch your pulse go up. Mine never went down. Mine went up, but the book said up or down.
Wow. Okay, so you figured out that sugar was something that you were allergic to and addicted to.
Yes.
So what was the thing that you did next? I mean, you started writing these your books in the late 1970s. There weren't a lot of books then about sugar.
I've written, three books on sugar, and then I've done a video called. What's it called?
Suicide by Sugar? Sweet Suicide.
Sweet Suicide. Thank you very much. an hour video that gets your attention if you're not a reader. So they all go into different things. We've learned a whole lot over the 40 years that I've been writing, but I won't change one word in Lick the Sugar Habit, which was my first book. Everything I said then is still the same. We just finally know a lot more. I mean, I can't tell you how many times doctors walked out of my lectures, nurses would walk out. I'd get put down on radio programs. Unbelievable what I went through, and I wouldn't give up.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't give up. I've been around long enough. I've been doing what I do for more than 30 years, and so I've seen that over time, things that we used to think were perfectly fine, a lot of them aren't. We're finding now that they aren't. I mean, people used to think that cigarettes were fine, that you could smoke, and then we found out that they cause cancer. And one by one, we're just there's so much more information about what's harmful now from our industrial world than we knew 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. And, you know, we're finding there's been a lot of evidence for a long period of time that sugar is very harmful to the body. And we keep finding that more and more. It's becoming more and more accepted.
Well, finally, a lot of research is being done. Let me just tell you the latest research that I have read. And that is, it was a study of, this is not a small study, 56,000 people in it was one of the Scandinavian countries was one of them, and the U.S. was the another. And it was written up in two journals, the British Journal of Medicine and a nutrition journal, a very good nutrition journal in the U.S. And what it said was for over 11 years, they watched these 56,000 people, and when they died of heart disease, they tested their cholesterol and started testing different blood things. And what they found out is that 75% of the people who died of heart disease had normal cholesterol. 75%. Okay, now what's going on here? What did they die of then? So they continued looking, and they found that it is an elevated blood glucose and an elevated insulin. Insulin is what the body needs to help bring the blood glucose back down to normal. And when both of those are elevated, you're in trouble. And that's what they found.
Wow.
And then they're saying, so eat all the fat you want.
Don't eat sugar. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Nancy Appleton, PhD. She's the author of the 25-year bestseller, Lick the Sugar Habit, and other books about sugar. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 141 reasons sugar ruins your health. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nancy Appleton, PhD. She's the author of Lick the Sugar Habit, Suicide by Sugar Killer, Colas, Lick the Sugar Habit, Sugar Counter, and actually other books about natural healing that have nothing to do with sugar. But you can go to Toxic Free Talk Radio, take a look at the description of the show and her bio, and there's a link to her all of her books on Amazon.com, so you can see all of them. You'll see all her book covers. You can click on those individually in order to purchase those if you'd like. Her website is listed there, nancyappleton.com, and there's a lot more information on her website and in her books than we're going to be able to cover today. But hopefully we'll get across the idea to you that sugar is not the best thing for your body and give you some tips on how you can remove sugar from your life. So, Nancy, let's go to your list of 141. No, it's 143.
Well, if you look at my website, this book was written 5 years ago. I think there's 149 now. Every time we find a new one, we keep adding more to them.
Yeah. So the first one is sugar can suppress your immune system. You want to tell us more about that?
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
The first one on your list is sugar can suppress your immune system.
Yes. That's probably the most important one of all of them, because once your immune system becomes suppressed, that means that you open the door to all infectious and degenerative diseases, because those white blood cells, which are your immune system, can't function correctly. They can't do what they're supposed to. They can't remove toxic substances from your body. So, that should be number 1 through 10. Sugar suppresses the immune system.
Yes, I agree. And especially in the winter time, during cold and flu season, if you don't want to be catching those bugs and being sick, a good thing to do is to just stop eating sugar. Because the more sugar you eat, the more difficult it's going to be for your body to fight just an ordinary cold and flu. And the more difficult it is, as you said, for the immune system to process toxic chemicals and things like that. It's just, even if there weren't another 148 reasons, that to me is a reason enough. So number 2 is sugar.
Okay, first, by the way, we should also say that all of these are have. Articles from medical journals, articles that are double-blind placebo studies, so that these are not just things that I learned in my practice as I went along in my life. These are all of them have a index, a bibliography of exactly where this information comes from.
Yes. Now, you know, I said at the beginning that I consider refined white sugar to be a toxic chemical. If you read a toxicology book, first of all, you were talking about allergies earlier. Allergy is considered in toxicology books to be a toxic reaction. It's a toxic effect. And also, you could read this whole entire list. And I hope everybody who's listening will go to Nancy's website and read this list, because we're not going to get through all 141. But the list reads like, and this is only one substance, the list reads like a poison control center book. That all of these things, any toxic chemical that is a man-made industrial chemical is going to have these kinds of symptoms and effects. And yet this white sugar that we're using, just on a day-to-day basis, it's just sitting on every table in a restaurant. It's just so common. It is as toxic as anything else.
Okay, Deborah, could I say that I have to say that it's more than white sugar that is doing this.
Okay, go on.
Sugar has many forms. Agave syrup or nectar, barley malt, beet sugar, brown sugar, cane sugar, cane syrup, confectioner's sugar, crystalline fructose, date sugar. I can go on and on. I've just done about a fourth of them that I knew 5 years ago, and there are more today. And it is any sugar that is processed. Go out and chew the cane. Go to Hawaii and go get a piece of cane and chew on that. I think it takes something like, 9 inches of cane to get 1 teaspoon of sugar.
And it yes, it does something like that.
And it would take you a long time to chew 9 inches of cane to get that sugar. So
what you're talking about is all processed sugars.
Yes, I am.
What about...
But again, honey is not processed,
right.
But it still has glucose and fructose in it. And those are the substances that are killing us, and I don't care what you want to call it or really whether it's processed or not, because, again, I use that cane just because you'd have to chew and chew and chew to get, and you could take a whole right. teaspoon of honey and get 5 times as much as you could chewing for a half hour on a piece of cane. So, but I do believe that it's any substance that has fructose and glucose in it, or sometimes agave syrup or nectar is about 90% fructose and 10% glucose.
Right.
And agave nectar is probably the worst thing you can eat because it is the it's not the glucose, it's the fructose in the sugar molecule that is killing us off today. So, everybody's saying, oh, this new thing, agave nectar, forget it. Fructose and agave nectar are both real killers. Go back to your table sugar. It's 50% glucose and 50% fructose.
Okay, so what about fruit, actually? Just
good
regular
question.
Fruit.
Good question. Fruit, of course, is a wonderful substance. It has fiber in it. It has lots of vitamins and minerals. It goes through the body slowly. And for a healthy person, fruit is a good substance. Because of all of its good things and because it goes slowly. But fruit juice, let me tell you, has the same, a 8-ounce glass of grape juice, orange juice, or I think it's, what's the third one? Grapefruit juice, maybe it is. Have the exact same amount of sugar as a Coca-Cola of 10 ounces, too.
I need to stop you right there because we need to go to break. But we'll talk about that more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nancy Appleton. We're talking about sugar. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nancy Appleton, author of 4 books, maybe more, about sugar and its health effects. And we're talking today about how sugar can affect your body and how we're going to get off of sugar and become more aware of the sugar that you're eating. Nancy, I just want to say that when I was a child, my grandmother would always make some sugar dessert for me. She would either make, she lived about 4 hours away, and she would always make a cake or she would make cookies. And I still have her cookie jar that I would always run to the second that I would walk into the house. I'd run to the cookie jar and see which kinds of my favorite cookies that she had baked for me. And but I remember her saying at the end of a meal, I would say, "Grandma, what can I have for dessert?" And she would always say, always, always, she would say, "Have a piece of fruit, honey." And I'd say, "No, Grandma, I don't want the piece of fruit. I want cookies. I want cake."
Where did you grow up?
In California.
Where? That's interesting because. grandmas. Of course, you're a younger generation than I am. But at that time, unless you had quite a bit of money, you didn't eat that much sugar.
Yeah. Well, by the time, I mean, I was born in the 1950s. And so I was growing up in 50s, 60s, going to my grandmother's and running in and wanting my sugar. And by then, I mean, sugar was very inexpensive when I was a child. So sugar was just all over the place, over the place. It's just very, very, very common. So before we go on to talk about the solutions to this problem, I just want to read a few more of the items on the list of 141. It can cause juvenile delinquency in children. It can elevate, we all know that it can elevate glucose and insulin levels. It can cause hyperactivity. It can reduce the body's ability to defend against bacterial infection. It leads to chromium deficiency, to copper deficiency. It interferes with absorption of calcium and magnesium. It can cause hypoglycemia. It causes premature aging. It can lead to alcoholism, tooth decay, obesity, ulcers, gallstones, heart disease, appendicitis, hemorrhoids, varicose veins. It's like practically anything that you would go to a drugstore and buy an over-the-counter drug for, is you could just stop eating sugar and those symptoms might go away. It can increase cholesterol, food allergies, diabetes, change the structure of DNA. It's just kind of just like a good all-purpose toxic thing. You want to cause problems in your body? Eat sugar. I shouldn't laugh because, I mean, you and I have both been through this ourselves. And there's so many people that are listening that I know are still eating sugar. But this is just like one thing. I want to say it's one simple thing that you can do, but it's not so easy to stop eating sugar. How did you stop eating sugar?
I did it. It's easy. I did it many times.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say what I did to stop eating sugar. And so when I'm saying I stopped eating sugar, I was eating a lot of refined white sugar and high fructose corn syrup, although at the time it wasn't so prevalent as it is now, the high fructose corn sugar. I was eating a lot of, you know, basic white sugar. And what I did was that I started looking at other alternative sweeteners, the stuff that's being sold in the natural food store. And so I decided, I figured out, well, for myself, and I understand that you don't agree with this, but I'm going to tell you what worked for me. So I started eating the natural sweeteners instead of the refined sweeteners. So even though there's still glucose and fructose, the refinedness makes it, your body absorb it faster than if it's in its whole form. And I ended up developing about 300 recipes for how to make anything you could possibly eat with sugar with a natural sweetener. And what I found to my surprise was that the more I ate the natural sweeteners, the less I wanted to eat them. Where the white sugar was very addictive, the effect of eating the natural sweeteners was that I just lost interest in them entirely. I didn't want to eat them anymore. And that's still true for me today, that I'd much rather eat whole food than eat something sweet. And that really surprised me. That was my remedy. I know there's lots of other ways to do it, including just cold turkey. But it is an addiction. It's really hard to just stop and not go back to it.
Many people say, I've been on radio programs where there's a talk show, and they call in and they yell, "Help me! I've got enough of tobacco. Alcohol is no problem, but sugar is the problem. I cannot get off of it." Yes, yeah, it's just as addictive as any of the other substances.
So what do you recommend for helping people get off sugar?
Well, I don't recommend that they do it cold turkey. because they could go through withdrawal symptoms. And by that, I mean they could have a temperature, they could shake, they could perspire, they could just feel terrible, they could have a headache, all those things, and then they're going to go, well, just give me a couple teaspoons of sugar and all this will go away.
Yeah, and it does.
It will go away, too, but it comes back, of course. So I don't believe that people should do that. They should slowly get rid of their sugar. Like if they drink coffee with 2 teaspoons of sugar, make it 1 teaspoon, and then a 1/2 teaspoon. And then, you know, then hopefully they'll get into teas and herbal teas. But we're just talking about sugar right now.
Right.
And so going slowly. What I did with my kids is I actually swiped homes, and I was in England. And Lori was about 10 and Greg was about 6. And I said, okay, kids, well, you're over here. There's no luncheons. You're not at school. You're with me 24 hours a day. And we're going to get off of sugar. So the first week I said, okay, you can go anywhere you want and have anything you want. Well, one kid would go to the milkshake store and get a milkshake. Another one would go to the cookie store and have a cookie. The next week it was 1/2 of that. The next week it was 1/4 of that. Mm-hmm. And then we were there 1 month. And after that, that was the end of sugar in my household. So
I think that method works. I think it does. And I think that everybody should. It's a new year. I think everyone should try cutting down on your sugar. And it really did surprise me to find that I didn't want to eat sugar anymore after I used to eat bags of cookies for dinner. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back and talk more about sugar with my guest, Nancy Appleton.
Okay, let's talk about Valentine's today. And some
Wait. After the break.
Yep.
Okay, Valentine's Day. Great idea. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Nancy Appleton. We're talking about sugar, and Nancy wants to talk about Valentine's Day.
Well, it's coming up, and chocolate companies and sugar companies make a lot of money over that period of time. And I just thought it might be a good idea to give some suggestions that can still mean love and sweetness and all the good things
good.
That we relate to sugar, unfortunately.
Well, tell us some of your suggestions.
All right. What I want you to do is get a piece of newspaper and make a pattern of a heart. And you can make it any size you want. Make it just 6 inches, approximately 6 inches. And fold it in half and cut it so that both sides are even. And if you don't like that one, tear it up and make another one. And you'll finally come to the one that looks correct for you. And then you can either get some, go to the grocery store, and they have these, what do they call them? They're white lacy.
Doilies.
Doilies, that's the word I want, thank you. Paper doilies that you can put underneath that, or you can fold it. And an accordion folding and make the whole outside of it so that it has a pretty doily on the outside. And then in the center of this thing, you want to cut a hole. And it depends on how big your heart is to start with or how big your heart with the doily on it is as to how big the hole will be. But then you can buy, you know, 2 or 3 roses or whatever, and put them in the center, and then get a little vase, and you can have just a wonderful Valentine's gift that will probably last longer than the candy will.
That sounds adorable. I have a heart-shaped cookie cutter, but instead of using it to cut out cookies, I use it to cut out vegetables. And then you can have a salad that's all full of little hearts with tomatoes and bell peppers and beets. And
good for you. That's a great idea. You have kids.
You know, I think that hugs and kisses are much better than chocolate anyway.
I think that's just a great idea.
Yeah.
But we've got to get away from this idea that on holidays, Halloween, I mean, the list goes on, birthdays and
yes.
bar mitzvahs and, you know, christenings, and that sugar is the answer. And it's not. And there are many different things that you can do at different holidays to give the same idea that you're loved, or that you love this person. So,
yes, I totally agree with you. So before the break, you were talking about how a glass of fruit juice has as much sugar in it as a Coca-Cola.
Yes, you can just pick up a Coca-Cola and pick up a glass or and a can of orange juice or a plastic container or whatever, and just start reading, and you'll see that they can have the exact same amount of sugar. Now you'd say, well, Nancy, one of them is made from, you know, either cane or beet or high fructose corn syrup, and the other is made from a natural substance. It doesn't matter. It still hits the bloodstream very fast because there's no fiber in it. That's the difference between fruit juice and fruit. Fruit has the fiber in it. It goes slowly through the body. And fruit juice goes zap, just like sugar goes zap through the body. So eat your fruit whole from now on.
Yeah, I think that I think that we probably have I'm wondering if we have a natural desire to want to eat fruit. I mean, it exists in nature. It's an edible thing. But I think that our taste buds and our perceptions have been altered by these industrially sweet things, where the sweet is so concentrated that when we then eat a fruit where it's a lower amount of sugar and it's combined with fiber and all the nutrients that come in a piece of fruit, that it doesn't taste very sweet to us. But I find now that I'm not eating industrial sweeteners, that foods taste very sweet. Even a carrot tastes sweet to me, or an onion tastes sweet to me. And it's really nice to be able to have my taste buds not be altered by sugar anymore, and to be able to actually taste the sweetness that is inherent in natural foods. It's completely changed not only my health, but my experience of food and my pleasure of food to not be eating sugar.
Even potatoes taste sweet.
They do. They do. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
But I will have to say, there are still some people, like if God said to me, Nancy, you've got 24 hours to live, what would you do? Well, it wouldn't be my kids or my grandkids. It would be See's Candy Store or Haagen-Dazs.
Did you see that movie Chocolate?
I'm a chocoholic, not a sugarholic.
Okay. Well, there was a movie Chocolate that it was very interesting because it was all about like how much these characters loved their chocolate and how important it was. And there was one woman there, one of the characters that I remember, where even though she was diabetic, she was still going to the chocolate store. That, you know, it was like, even though it had sugar in it and things like that. So I love chocolate as well. And, but chocolate.
Wait until the day before you die.
Wait until the day before you die and then have it.
Then eat all you want.
Well, let's see. So we only have a few minutes left.
Okay, well, just also let me tell people that if they are concerned that they are sugarholics, they can go to my website, nancyappleton.com, and take a test to find out if you are a sugarholic. And I've forgotten how many of you, you know, if you say yes to so many, chances are you're a sugarholic. So that can give you some idea, as well as, of course, I have 140 some odd reasons why sugar is ruining your health, and page after page and article after article. I mean, I beat it home.
Let me give a few questions off of your quiz. I'm looking at it on your website. And it's basically a true false. And so the first one is, I don't eat refined sugar every day. I can go more than a day without eating some kind of sugar containing foods. And, you know, it just goes on to on and on like this. And you can, I can stop eating. I can stop after eating one bite of pastry or one piece of candy. Ha, ha, ha. Now, I was just reading it. I can have sweets around the house without eating them. False. No, you know, it's part of it is just saying, I'm not going to have sugar in the house. I'm not going to have dessert in the house. And, like, I went through a phase where I said, okay, I can have cookies, but only if I bake them myself. You know, I mean, this is part of the transition away from this stuff. And so I wouldn't keep any ingredients in the house, and I couldn't go buy a bag of cookies. But if I wanted to get in my car, go to the store, spend the money, buy the ingredients for the cookies, bring them home, and bake the cookies, then I would allow myself to have them. And that really reduced my cookie consumption.
Well, that's a great idea. Well, also, let me tell you about my grandkids. I have twins. They're 16 now. And one of them has one cavity. The other has been on antibiotics once. That's it. They've had very little sugar, very little dairy, very little wheat, and they are the healthiest kids in the whole world. So, you know, forget, and I almost say forget your kids, Mom. Think of all the worry you have to decide. Should I go to the drugstore at 2 a.m. to get my kids something? Do I need to telephone? Do I need to not go to work the next day because my kid's sick? I mean, all the things that go on with this child sickness due to sugar.
Yes.
I just can't tell you. My daughter has raised two healthy kids and has rarely had to miss a day herself. Yeah, they get snotty noses, they whine, but their immune system hooks in, so they don't have to have the antibiotics, and the immune system takes the bug away.
Yes, yes, it does. It all works when you don't bombard your body with toxic things. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being on the show with me. Again, her website is nancyappleton.com, and you can go there and read her research. You can read the 141 Reasons Sugar Ruins Your Health. Go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and you can look at the description of this show and get all the links and see all her books. And also, you can, when you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, you can just go to the top of the page. There's a navigation bar, and click on food, and you'll get to my food blog. And one of the things that I'm doing there, first of all, you'll see some recipes from Christmas. Well, just go click and you'll see. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is toxicfreetalkradio.com.